Hello and happy Monday, everyone. Thanks for tuning in to Bacon Bits with Master Happiness. I'm your host, Marty Jalove. You are listening to WRLR 98.3 FM. We come at you every single Monday night at 7 o'clock to talk about your job, your career, your vision made clear, your skills that you've honed and the business that you own, the ups and downs, the smiles and frowns, where you're at and where you're bound. I'm on a quest to bring you the absolute best, and today is my very special guest, Mr. Ronald Curtis Gray. Hello, Ron. How are you?
I am honored. I am so excited to be invited here in the midst of all this bacon. Man, I'm seeing pork belly everywhere.
That's it. I'm sorry, Ron, I couldn't get the YouTube working, so, you know, the world's just going to have to listen to your melodious tones and not see that beautiful face of yours.
Well, I got a face for radio anyway, so
that's I think they tell us both that.
Yeah, that works out just fine.
So Ron, you're familiar with the show. You're one of our biggest fans. Okay.
I'm at least in the team photo.
There you go. I love it. So for those of you who've just tuned in this first time listening to the show, well, this show about Bacon Bits is all about bringing happiness back to the workplace. We talk to industry leaders. We talk to people working in different departments. We talk to people who have failed, succeeded, etc., young management, all types of people, about those ups and downs in business. And so when I talked to Ron, who is one of my favorite hosts here on WRLR, we talked a little bit about mentoring. And this is a really important thing to do because I think there's a great give and take in mentoring. We as older people are able to share our knowledge with some younger people and help them guide them up. And they, in turn, give us some feeling of necessity that we feel a little needed, we feel wanted. So I talked to Ron, and I said, let's do this show. And he was like, yeah, I'm all about the mentoring. And so we're going to, Ron, like we do every week here, is apply a little bacon to the subject matter.
Oh, is this the... The bacon for chewing?
No, it is not the bacon for chewing. It's the bacon for doing.
Oh, okay.
There you go. Right. Good job there, Ron. Yes, so we apply the acronym BACON to everything we do. And what I want to do is I want to introduce those five letters right now as kind of an outline for what we're going to talk about. Obviously, this show is all about tangents. I don't really care where the show goes as long as it goes to a fun place.
That's it.
All right? And that's why you're here. All right, so when we talk about effective mentoring, and this is all involved in that one-on-one communication, I'm looking at being be authentic, A, ask open-ended questions, C, champion their idea, O, offer ongoing support, and N, nurture their growth.
I like all of those.
All right. Fantastic.
Because you reminded me when I was in my last job at my last firm, and I still do business with them from the other side of the desk. I was in purchasing, supply chain. We used to call it materials management.
Okay.
Back in my day.
Sure.
And I was hired there. I was already 58 at the time I was hired. And my boss was younger and had only been there for 1 year. He'd come from outside. And he didn't really have a manufacturing background. He had a background in finished product in entertainment, video cassettes.
So what was the business that you started working at 58, you said?
It was a company called UCC Environmental.
Okay.
Full disclosure, they're one of our platinum sponsors here on the station.
Fantastic.
But their primary business was removing the ash from coal-fired power plants. So a lot of engineering, a lot of manufacturing, all kinds of disciplines.
Gotcha.
All kinds of materials.
Okay.
And my boss was someone who embraced my experience. You know, he would call me into his office and say, hey, have you ever been through something like this before in a past life?
Sure.
How did you handle it? And the two of us identified a young man and a young woman that we would include in some of those discussions,
okay,
mentoring them and involving them in decisions that are going to be like what they will have to do once they hit management.
Right. Perfect.
And
perfect.
One of the things you said that stood out, champion their ideas.
Right.
And when they would come up with an idea, we'd pose the question or the circumstance that we had. And we'd either say, that's just what we were thinking, good
okay.
job, or, well, that would be a good option if this condition
right.
were
sure,
different.
Sure, sure, sure.
And other times it would be, well, that's not quite optimal. It's good, but here's what we think would be better.
I think you hit on something that's so important, is that those are three perfect answers. That's the variety of answers. But most importantly is you actually gave an answer.
Right.
I see a lot of people
really?
Who ask their employees for ideas, for feedback, and they get all this feedback, and they go, all right, we'll look at it. And then never get back to the employees. Never tell them what's going to happen.
I hate that.
Oh, because it's useless. It actually is counterproductive, because then the employee goes, well, why do you keep asking for my ideas? You never implement anything. Or when you do, you never come back to me and say thanks for that idea.
Right.
So I think you do have to give them the answer almost immediately when you're working with somebody. You're either going to say, this is a great idea. Let's do it right now. This is a great idea, but the time is wrong. Maybe we'll do it later. Let's tweak it a little bit. Let's learn a little bit more. Or no. Or three is, it doesn't fit our value, our vibe, our vision. So I think you got to give them an answer right away and then carry through with it. And this is how you encourage these people to grow and evolve into something incredible.
Because you end up, I think you run the risk of shutting them down.
Yeah.
And they'll say, well, maybe this idea wasn't perfect, but I have some others that could be moneymakers.
Right, completely.
But why am I going to bother if you're not even going to give me the courtesy of saying no?
Right, right. So I worked for a company out in Massachusetts, and I would go there about 1 week every month. So I would spend 3 weeks here, and then I'd go back out to Massachusetts for 1 week, and I had people who answered directly to me. And one of the things I would ask them on a regular basis is, how many mistakes have you made while I was gone? Okay? And if they said none, I would say, well, then you're not trying hard enough.
Yeah,
you're not trying hard enough. Because I encourage the idea of try something new, try something innovative, be creative, and let's see what happens. I'm only going to get upset if you continue to repeat the mistakes. But if you make a mistake with your head on straight, that you're heading in the right direction, you were thinking about what was best for the company, and you make a mistake, then all right, we learned something from it. Let's move forward. So I think it's really important. But it's that communication, that back and forth, that's by far the most important thing.
You reminded me of one of the early lessons I learned in my career. I had screwed up.
Okay.
And I went into my boss to face the music.
Yeah, yeah.
And I told him what I had done. And to rectify it, I had a plan A scenario and a plan B.
Perfect.
So he said, well, either one of those will work. I'll let you decide. And I said, that's it? You're not going to chew me out? He said, you made a mistake. You owned up to it. He said, but more importantly, you came in here with ways to remedy the situation.
Yeah, and they were legitimate ways. They were you know, they weren't goofy, silly, blue sky ideas. They were legitimate ideas enough for him to go, both of them are good, choose one.
Right.
Yeah.
He said, now, if you make the same mistake continuously, you're going to get a different reception than you just got.
Yes, exactly. I think that's so important. So Ron, going back in your life, let me ask you, what's a mentor, a person who stands out in your life, and what was that turning point? What was the moment that you remember that you suddenly go, wow, this guy, I mean, you explained something right now, but is there another place in time that you would say, wow, this was a great turning point for me, this was a growing moment for me, that suddenly I realized this guy really, really trusts me, okay, and I want to move forward?
Okay, in a past life, I was a drywall taper.
Okay.
And the man for whom I worked and my cousin worked decided to retire and become a Lake County building inspector. So I'm looking for a job. I see an ad for an expediter.
Okay.
At OMC's Stern Drive plant in Waukegan, right off of Washington and Green Bay. This was 1977. They were in the middle of a strike. And I'm going in to meet with the, well, I guess it's HR now, it was personnel guy then. And the strikers were trying to stop me and said, man, don't you realize we on strike? And I'm a brother. That's what it was. Brother, don't you realize we're on strike? I said, all I know is I'm out of work and I have a wife and a little boy at home that I need to feed.
Yeah.
And these people have offered me a job. So you want to tell me again what I ought to do, brother? Oh, man, go ahead.
Oh, all right. Well, that was a good reception. Oh, yeah. Because that could have turned out a little different.
But the production manager was my boss, a guy by the name of Pat Hughes. And he made all the difference in the world. He got me started on my career in supply chain. Gave me my first promotion. And that first promotion was second shift storeroom shipping and receiving supervisor.
Okay.
And I wasn't too crazy about second shift and trying to figure out what to do with my son. And I said, well, is it going to be a black mark if I don't take this promotion? He said, well, no. He said, but the next thing that opens up on days.
Yeah.
This, whoever this second shift person is.
Yeah, because they deserve it. Right.
And sure. I said, well, okay, you got a point.
There you go. Sure.
But yeah, he was my mentor. I was with OMC for 15 years.
Wow.
And I get a pension from them.
That's even better. So I'm going to go back and I'm going to tell you, for me, I think I got the... I believe I got the YouTube working, by the way.
Congratulations.
All right. That's pretty good. Talking to you and flipping around over here. But
well maybe see. I inspired you.
Yeah, you definitely inspire me. So I'm going to go back in the like mid-80s. I got this job as a graphic designer for a small distributor. And thinking, I don't know what I'm going to do. I landed the job. I really wanted to put something in my resume, and I was going to go downtown and work for some big fancy agency. That was my dream, right? And I fell in love with the family that owned the distributorship. Absolutely. It was a man who owned it, and his wife co-ran it with him, and she showed up, but then he had all his kids. He brought in all his kids to run different departments. And I remember the moment that we were discussing, and I would throw out all these goofy ideas, all these creative marketing, advertising ideas. Hey, why don't we do this? Why don't we try this? Why don't we try this? And so often they were kind of shut down or kind of excused or mildly used. Okay. And the one day he goes, you know what? Let's try one of Marty's kooky ideas. And he goes, maybe it'll just work. And I was like, really? And he was like, well, you know, the tenacity of you not giving up. You're just going to keep throwing them at us, so we're just going to try.
Now, how old were you at
the time? Oh, I was probably in my 20s, my early 20s, right? And it was this whole, I think this would work. Look at this. This is what the big guys, I've seen Coca-Cola do this. I see this. You know, and we were nowhere that big. But we tried some different things. And then that slowly, he kept giving me the opportunity to make decisions, which I think is the cornerstone of moving you from just a worker at a place to a supervisor, a manager, or something important is when they start freeing you up to make some decisions.
Which takes you from simply a worker ant.
Yep.
To a stakeholder.
Yeah, exactly. Because now I'm about to put myself out there and say, I'm going to make the call here. This is what we're going to do. And if it fails, I have to face the music, right? And that's the biggest difference. Now, some people never want to do that. They never want to make decisions. They just want to sit there and do their job. Tell me what I'm supposed to say when the phone rings. Tell me what I'm supposed to do with the screw. Tell me what lever I'm supposed to pull. That's fine. There's plenty of people that do that.
And we need people like that.
Completely, yeah. Completely. But I was one of those people who I was like, I can't do that. I gotta keep playing the odds. I gotta keep twisting the reality and trying to come up with something new.
Well, see, you're taking me back. Wow, I think this book came out about the time you're talking about.
Okay.
And it had a big impact on me. Tom Peters and Bob Waterman.
Which was, what was
In Search of Excellence.
Oh, there you go. Sure.
And one of the things that still sticks out in my mind about that book, because they had looked at a bunch of different companies successful companies, and what did they have in common?
Okay.
And one of the things that stuck in my mind, there was a group kind of like what you described that they called the Skunk Works.
Oh, okay.
That you just kind of scrounge around and flesh out some ideas. I think today we would call it proof of concept.
Sure.
Or something like that. but you might take scraps to build a prototype.
Right, right.
Because you had an idea.
Right.
And it said those were the people that were driving the success
yep.
of these companies. There were people, there were groups of people that either were free or felt free enough to explore some, I hate using the phrase, but out-of-the-box ideas.
Yeah, yeah. I love that. I love that phrase, out-of-the-box ideas. Yeah, yeah. Trust
but
me.
But it gets overused.
Oh, I understand. As long as we really concentrate on and understand the real meaning behind it, I think it's still a viable phrase. So before we go any further on that tangent about our histories, I want to go back into this whole idea of the mentorship. Okay, and so I was looking at this, and I came up with a couple of things that are important, and I want you to tell me if there's something you want to add to this or if there's something I'm missing here. But a mentor I view as someone who provides their experience and wisdom
right.
to somebody younger, all right, their ability to network and resource to make connections for the person.
I'm glad you added that. Yeah.
There you go. The personal and professional development that kind of leans on that experience and wisdom, but this is something very specific, teaches them about how to, let's say, become a business person, all right, how to become more professional, and even talking to them about their personal beliefs or their attitudes, and then also long-term vision. So talks about where they're at right now and where they want to go and what they should be doing right now. Okay, so what else have you got? What else do you think, or is there something there that you really want to expand
upon? I think I would also add the value of anecdotal teaching.
Yes.
Being able to give them some examples of things that happened in your career that in some way, shape, or form they'll be faced with
right,
at some
right.
point in time. And show them some options, because as you were talking, I got laid off for about 9 months, came back into a different position, and it was from that mentor
okay.
who had told people, well, did you call Ron Grace?
Sure.
So I'm in a bullpen with a bunch of people, and the corporate director of materials comes out, grabs my chair with me in it, and wheels me into his office.
Okay.
And has the manager join him. Now, everybody in the bullpen knew that there were 3 jobs open.
Okay.
So I'm in there for about 45 minutes. When I come out, they say, well, which job did they offer you? I said, all 3 of them. And this is a lesson I've taught to young people over the years, including my own children. I said, one was a warehouse manager.
Okay.
Exempt. One was a scheduler, exempt. One was a purchasing expediter, which was non-exempt.
Okay.
Which one did you take? I took the expediter's job. That's the lowest paying out of 3. I said, I've been a warehouse manager.
Okay.
Or supervisor.
Sure.
I said, I'm not going to learn anything new. I'm not going to add any more arrows to my quiver.
Right. Good idea. Yeah.
I've been a scheduler. Same thing. This purchasing, that gives me a new skill set.
Right. Right.
There were 4 levels in that department. Guys that were at level 3 when I started at 1 were at level 3 when I was 4 18 months later.
Okay.
So I've told young people, it's not always about the immediate money.
No, not at all. I agree with you.
Look at what your resume looks like.
Right.
And how can you round that out?
Yeah.
If you're just doing the same thing. The other thing I tell young people, and you might want to add this, is tenure, length of time.
Okay.
You know, when we were younger, if you left a job within 5 years, you were considered a job hopper.
Right, right.
They wanted to see people with double-digit experience
yeah, exactly.
in one place. Now, it's quite the opposite.
Yeah.
And I talk to HR people, I'm sure you do
sure,
as
sure,
well.
All the time.
They want you to have some different angles and paradigms.
Yeah.
Because if you've been somewhere for 15 years, they say, you're not bringing enough to the table because you only know one way how to do something.
Exactly. I think you're absolutely right. The average right now, according to Harvard Business Review, is just under 3 years, like 2.85 years. That's how long somebody stays at one job and then jumps to the next one. And so it's interesting because as part of my mentoring, part of the stuff I do as a business coach, I talk to businesses on how to keep those employees longer if they're working out And on the flip side, I talk to employees and say, this is why you got to jump from job to job. So it's I'm working both ends of that bet. But it's important because I do agree with you that you made two really good points there, is that you how much are you bringing to the table? I loved when you said the idea of how many arrows are in your quiver. How much you're bringing to the table? Because nowadays, if you do stay at one place too long, especially in the same position, if you don't show if you don't show any real growth or diversity within a place, what are you showing other than you have loyalty?
Exactly.
You could say, but I'll tell you the other thing is that businesses want someone who's hungry. Businesses want to set up a thing where they want to hire somebody that I'm afraid to lose. All right. Not that, he'll never quit. Which employee would you rather have? The one that you look at, he'll never quit. He'll stay there forever. Or the guy going, we better give him some challenges in order to get him to stay.
Yeah, give him some skin in the game.
Yeah, exactly. And so I think it's really important because what we're finding as technology changes, one of the greatest assets that you can bring to the table as a young employee, and any young employees out there who are listening, any young people, is adaptability. If you can show that I can adapt to my surroundings, this ever-changing things that are going on in the business, because technology, just technology alone changes so quickly from month to month to month, you have to be able to go with the flow. And the only way sometimes you can do that is to jump from job to job or at least take on different positions within a company. Do different things so you can say, well, I learned this here and I learned this here. And so if it works here and it works here, then it should work here. Let's try it here. As opposed to, well, that's how we always do it. So that's how we're going to keep doing it.
I did a presentation once. My primary commodity was valves.
Okay.
And I gave a presentation going all the way back to the Roman Empire.
Yeah.
Because they were magnificent at building aqueducts and so forth. And as I finished presentation, I've got president and all these VPs and owners. And I said, and finally, and I put it in red on my PowerPoint, 7 words that should never come from our mouths.
Okay.
That's the way we've always done it.
Yeah. How about it? Right? That's a great way to say, all right, fine, I'll go talk to somebody else.
Yeah. Right. One other thing I would add when we're talking about mentoring young people that I found of value, and I'm sure you'd go along with this as well, professional organizations.
Oh, yeah.
I remember years ago, there was a Lake County Management Club.
Okay.
And OMC paid for everybody to join it. And we'd have meetings. And I'd go sit with people from Johns Manville, or
I'd sit
with people from ComEd, or I'd sit with people from Abbott or Fansteel. And my colleagues, my coworkers, well, how come you're not sitting with us? I said, no offense, guys, but I already know everything you know.
I know, and I see you every day. Yeah. Right, right.
And I know you know. I want to talk to somebody about some problems and issues I've had that may be common and see what their approach was.
Yep, yep.
I said, but I'm not going to learn anything sitting with you. No, I like you, but I'm not going to learn anything.
That's that whole idea of mastering the ability to network and teaching young people to not be afraid just to walk up and start talking to people, especially
exactly.
in a networking situation where everyone there is there to talk to other people. They want to give advice. They want to hear something new. So you have to be able to walk up and talk to somebody. You can't go to a networking event, stand in the corner, and play Tetris on your phone.
Right.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Either that or just stick with your other four colleagues from the same business or office.
Yeah, yeah.
No, get out. And I think you used the right word. You have to have the courage.
Yep.
Because some people have a problem approaching other folks.
Certainly.
You might find this hard to believe, but I don't have that problem.
Really? See? And I was going to ask you if you needed coaching.
I can always learn.
That's right. There you go. You're right. You're absolutely right. Well, so going back about mentoring and touching on what we're just saying is, so I teach children public speaking and debate skills. This is one of my things. Every Sunday, I teach out in Hoffman Estates for about 4 hours. I was just talking to them. This semester is going to end. It's like an after school program. It's a different
kind of an
activity.
Elective, yeah.
Right. And it starts with kids. I've got kids in my class as young as 7 years old, all the way up through high school. So it's four different classes, and they're saying, oh, Marty, these kids really like it. Would you think in the fall maybe going to 5 hours, five classes? And I'm like, four is exhausting. So I don't know how teachers who teach all the time do it. But one of the things I was talking about this last Sunday, yesterday, was this idea of fear of public speaking is what people say is the number one fear. But it is not the speaking that they're afraid of. It's public humiliation is what they're afraid of. They're afraid to stand up in front of anyone and do anything. They're afraid to get up in front of a group and sing, dance, act, do anything like that because they're afraid they're going to be judged. And they need to get over that. And that's something a mentor has to be able to teach young people is to get out of that shell. All right. And one of the things I tell all these other people, all these kids especially, is I go, you look around, you see so many kids who don't talk anymore. They don't know how to make eye contact anymore because their faces are in the phones.
Right.
This is a pet peeve of mine. It drives me crazy. And I tell these kids, if you stand outside of the crowd, if you're the only one with your head up and looking at people in the face, you immediately get put into a different category.
That's right.
Right. That's the simplest thing you can do.
And people will be drawn to you.
Exactly.
Because they want to know what's different.
Right. And this leads us to that letter B in the bacon, which is be authentic. I would never teach these kids. As a mentor, I would never teach these kids anything that I wouldn't do myself. All right, I'm not going to push them into this. I'm going to tell them about, like you said, some of my stories. I'm going to tell them about my failures and my successes, and I'm going to give them some shortcuts to go, I don't want you to repeat that same mistake I made. This is what I thought would happen. This is what I did. You should try it this way. But I'm going to be authentic about who I am. I'm not going to pretend to be someone else. All right, and I was thinking about this when you were saying sharing anecdotes about your life. I've also had mentors who share a little bit too many anecdotes. And, you know,
and no,
you,
there is a limit.
Yeah, and you sit late going, all right, well, I was coming here to learn something, and I just learned that I wasted 2 hours with you. You know, so when you are being authentic and you're sharing those anecdotes, remember, you got to think about what's in it for them.
Exactly.
It's not supposed to be an opportunity for someone to listen to me. It's an opportunity for me to help somebody grow. Okay?
I agree with that. Because I mentioned one thing I learned is that every organization, there's a job that's vital, and maybe it only arises quarterly or semi-annually or annually, but it needs to be done.
Yep.
And it's laborious and people hate it.
Yep.
And I tell young people, every organization has that kind of job.
Sure.
Find out what that job is that everybody runs from and become the subject matter expert.
There you go. I love that. We discussed that the other day, and I love the way you put that. Keep going. I'm sorry.
Because even if it's only once or twice a year, the light and all eyes are going to be on you, at least eyes from upper management
are
going to be on you.
Yes.
I learned it when there was a big project early in my career that had to do with inventory and reports. And we had an inventory analyst within the department. And the boss, this was a Saturday-Sunday thing with double time. And the boss put me in charge of it rather than the department's inventory analyst. And I had people clamoring to be chosen by me as part of the team so they could make, we're all young and trying to raise families. But I learned that report inside and out.
There you
and
go.
Nobody in the place knew it better than I.
That's perfect. I like that. A lot of times, Ron, what I'll do is when I'm talking to companies and I'm saying one of the ways that you want to keep employees is, it's the flip side of what you're saying, is everybody... and I'm using that term everybody loosely, is they think the only way to succeed is to start as a worker bee, move to supervisor, move to director, move to manager, move to vice president, etc., and move up the line. And I say, no, it's not necessary. Sometimes you can move out horizontally. In other words, do what you're talking about. Grab a job that is sitting off in the corner that gets only done once every couple of times a year. But a business can also find those jobs or those ideas, things that they have always kept on the back burner, to say, one day when we catch up, it would be really cool if we could do this. One day, if everything is running smoothly, why don't we try this? So what you do is you use that activity as a promotion, as a celebration, an accolade to an employee who's doing a good job. You say, you know what I'd like to do is I'd like to give you a little bit additional responsibility. I want to see how you can take a project and really run with it and make it happen. This is something we've been thinking about for years, but we've never had the time or the talent to do it. I'd like to make you the team lead on that and have you run with it. See, and then maybe you get them involved with some other people. And it's a great test for them, as me as the manager, the owner of the company, to look at them and say, wow, you really made this thing happen. You've still been doing your regular job. Everything's like this, but you're also working on this other thing that we never were going to have time to get it done. But you showed us, you got the spirit, the vision, and the gumption to get it done, you know? And so it does work both ways.
And when I was referring to In Search of Excellence, that's exactly what the group they called Skunk Works was about.
Okay, perfect. I love it. I got to have you on the show more often, Ron. I don't think we go off on quite as many tangents with my other guests, but I love a good tangent.
Well, particularly if it's wrapped in bacon.
Oh, there you go. Bacon wrapped tangents. There you go.
So what's next on the list after be attentive?
All right. Ask open-ended questions. All right. So I'm going to throw this by you, Ron, is when you mentor people, because you've got some young people who lean towards you, lean on you and ask you questions. Because you mentioned this about early on when we first started the show, you said the important thing is to go back to them and start asking them questions about what they're doing, what they're thinking. Can you give me any scenario or expand upon that?
Well, I've talked to some young people who are looking to broaden their position.
Okay.
But they don't really know how to go about it. And I go down pretty much a checklist. Okay, what skills would you need to get to the next level or to expand it?
Yep.
You can either be vertical or horizontal.
Right.
You know, you can gather in more in your current position. What skills would you need? Do you have everything that you need already? Are you equipped? Are you educated? Well, no, I could use this. Okay. How about classes maybe at a community college?
Sure.
Something online? Is there a certification program involved in what it is you're going to need? You need to sit down no different than a corporation or a business has to lay out a business plan. You need to lay out a career plan.
I love that.
And these are assets that you need to gain in order to get where you want to get.
I like the fact that you're asking not only open-ended questions, but you're asking some leading questions to get them to the right point.
Right.
That's perfect.
Think about it.
So, Ron, before we go any further, you know what? I took a look at this. It's about time for us to take a mini break. All right?
It's been a half hour already.
It has been a half an hour. I tell you. You get the two of us together, we're going to run out of time quickly.
Yeah. All right.
And we are back. Thank you again for tuning in to WRLR 98.3 FM, The Life. I'm your host, Marty Jalove. Today, you're listening to Bacon Bits with Master Happiness. That's what I'm the host of. And my very special guest is Ronald Curtis Grace. You probably all know him from Fridays when you listen into Ear Candy Emporium, one of my favorite shows to listen to. But unfortunately, I can't catch every Friday. So, Ron, do you record your shows anywhere? Where can we listen to more of Ear Candy Emporium?
Well, I'm glad you asked that leading question. If you just go to my Facebook page, every week I put up a link to, I post it on Mixcloud, upload it to Mixcloud.
Excellent.
And I post the link to that on my Facebook page. So you just click on the link.
Perfect.
Takes you right to Mixcloud. You can listen to the show.
Nice. And then how long does it stay up, Mixcloud, like for good or for a week? How long does it stay up there?
The earliest things I put up there are still there.
Oh, all right. So it's the same thing. So my show as well, what happens with Bacon Bits with Master Happiness, after I get the recording, it goes on to my podcast, which is Bacon Bits with Master Happiness. So you get to hear everybody. So
we'll wow, be what to, a revolutionary title.
Isn't that nice, right? And so we'll be able to see your smiling face on YouTube, the 98.3, the Life channel on YouTube, or anywhere you listen to Bacon Bits with Master Happiness. All right.
And speaking of Bacon Bits.
Yes.
Do you know what this week is?
This week?
Yes.
Now I'm going to be embarrassed. What is this week?
Started yesterday through Saturday.
Is?
This is National Small Business Week.
Oh, all right. Very nice. Very nice. All right. So we've got to be celebrating small businesses.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So about your bacon.
Yes.
Let's see. Where were we when we took our break?
We were still asking those open-ended questions or leading questions. And I think this is really important on the mentor's side to be able to go when you're talking to these young people. Remember, we don't, you know, sometimes a mentor is old enough, they've retired, they've sat back, they've got plenty of time, but these younger kids don't have the necessarily that much time. So as a mentor, what we have to do is we have to ask these open-ended questions, the leading questions, to keep the conversation in one direction. You know, we've got to stay focused for them. If they want to expand somewhere else and we've got the time, then let them do this. But remember, it's the conversation is about them. Okay. So that's what's really important. So you got to keep opening those questions, asking those right questions to get the right information out. With that, I want to tell you, so I spoke to you a little bit about how I teach these young kids public speaking and that. On the flip side, I still have two mentors that are both older than me. They're about 20 years older than me. And I meet with them almost regularly, two different days a week. I sit with coffee and we just talk to them because they have lived through changes in business and they feed me plenty of information. They ask me all kinds of questions about my business. And sometimes it's really interesting because if I don't have the answer, then I'm like, oh man, maybe I'm doing something wrong here.
So you are still a mentee.
Oh, completely. And I believe I will be a mentee to the day that I die, as well as I will try to be a mentor just as long. When I'm a mentor to these kids, I'm also learning something from the kids on a regular basis too. So the mentor-mentee relationship is a strong give and take. It goes both ways. All right?
And it's so gratifying when you see it produce fruit.
Yeah. Yes, yes. So one of the other things, Ron, I don't know if you know this. So in the Lake Zurich High School, they have a organization called the Incubators and the Accelerators, where they have young kids, high school students, coming up with new ideas, new fresh business ideas.
Oh, great.
And they're trying to bring them to market. So it's cool because I'm a mentor there as well. So I have a team coming up with an idea, and they've gone pretty far. They've stood the test of time. And this Wednesday, they're going to be on the stage at Lake Zurich High School presenting their idea. They're one of the four finalists presenting their idea to see if they can get some funding. So the program offers some money if they can come through with this and present it well enough and the judges feel like it's viable, they will award them some money and help them pursue their dream.
That's got to be exciting for them.
Oh, man. I mean, it's exciting for me being the mentor, but for them, over the top, to see, for them to go through the entire process and learn every aspect of coming up with ideas, you know, the brainstorming, every bit of it, all the way to the final stage.
And you've got to lead them in terms of mentoring when it comes to operations,
yes,
financials.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they get to, I was going to say, they get to learn some lifelong lessons.
Yes.
Because it's so ingrained in me, and my daughter laughs at me. I always dealt in inventory and FIFO, first in, first out.
Right, right.
I'm that way running my house. You know, I position the paper towels. So first in, first
out. Nice, right, sure.
The bath, the body wash.
Nice.
First out. I mean, sure. You do it with food, of course.
Right.
But I do it with non-perishables.
I don't know. I don't do it with... We don't seem to do it enough with food in our house. It seems like the new food pushes the old food to the back of the fridge. But.
Oh, you mean like when you were a kid and you opened up the new cereal before you finished the old one?
Of course. Aren't you supposed to? Right. All right. So this leads us to the letter C here, which is champion their ideas. All right. Which is, I think, we've been kind of talking about this ongoing. is remembering that it's their ideas. And trust me, man, when I am either with mentoring these kids in high school or teaching the kids public speaking, and sometimes I'm helping them craft a speech, because we've got a speech contest coming up. So I'm trying to help them craft these speeches. Oh, so many times I've got to bite my tongue to go, this is their idea. It's not my idea. Yeah, that's a tough one.
Because you have to be able to make them feel comfortable that there is truly no such thing in this environment as a bad idea.
Correct. And if all I do is tell them, yeah, that's okay, but you should do it this way, this, you know, follow my way, then again, I'm doing them a disservice.
Correct.
Because then I'm helping them become followers and not creative thinkers. Okay. Which reminds me, Ron, you'll like this. And once it's printed, I'll bring it to you and let you look at it. Is I write an article for a local magazine every month. And the next one that's coming up in whatever month it is, May, June, it's coming up, is going to be about Legos, the Lego bricks.
Okay.
And you remember Legos when they first came out.
Right.
Right? There used to be the little twos and fours and sixes and eights and a couple of those long things, and we could build. But it was all up to our imagination. There were no instructions to say, this is how you build a pirate ship. If you wanted a pirate ship, you had to create one. And it didn't look necessarily 100% like a pirate ship, except in my mind, right? Now, what has happened is Legos continued to do the whole, I'll make it easier for you, I'll make it easier for you. And so what they do is you buy a kit now that has a big picture of, do you want to build this? Here's all the pieces you need. And because some of the pieces won't look exactly right, we've made specialty pieces that will make it look, will finish it for you. Here's a illustrated
instruction. Here's some angular pieces,
right,
and curved pieces.
Yeah, and here's an illustrated instruction booklet, and all you have to do is build this on your own. Okay? And I like it, but I hate it as well. Because
that doesn't sound as much fun.
No, because what you're doing is we're teaching kids to follow instructions. We're teaching kids to say what you would dream up of and what you could do with the materials at hand is nowhere near as good as what we can do. So just stop overthinking it and just build what we tell you to build.
Right. So you flesh out somebody else's idea.
Yeah. Yeah.
Rather than your own.
Exactly.
You just took me way back. I got to tell you, the first thing I built with Legos.
Yeah.
A White Castle. Like the burger
joint. Yeah, yeah, of course.
I built a White Castle.
There you go. So you must have had a lot of those white bricks, right?
Yeah, I did.
There you go. I love that. And you see, whatever happened to, like, Tinker Toys, Lincoln Logs,
right. Yes.
Legos, where you had
Director
to use your,
sets.
Right, yeah. You had to use your imagination, okay? And I don't mind if they say every now and then, here's an idea for you. But I want kids to just run free and say, let me create something. Teach me how to tighten a screw. Teach me how to snap those bricks together. Teach me those kinds of things, but then let my imagination run free. And I think that's one of the most important things that I do as a mentor, okay, is try to push that to the kids.
And that develops leaders rather than drones.
Yeah, completely. And I think that's it, is this idea of the letter C we're talking about, championing their ideas, is too often I see they go, I don't know, what am I supposed to do? And they're like, you are supposed to do whatever you want to do. Okay, I had these kids, I told them, all right, we're going to craft a speech today. And here, I'm going to show you the pattern, what you should look at first, second, third. But your idea is all up to you. Okay, and so one kid goes, well, I want to talk about the child labor in harvesting chocolate. And I was like, this kid is like nine, right? And
nine?
Was like, nine, and I was like, awesome, right?
And he wants to talk about
Child labor in harvesting chocolate, right?
Wow.
And then another kid goes, well, anime. I have a problem with anime. I was like, what's that? And I think that the subtitles are better than the dubbed in voices they use. I'm like, okay, dramatically different than the other one. But I was like, that's what you want to talk about? That's what you're going to set up. Somebody else is like, I want to talk about Greek mythology and the meaning of life. And I was like, it doesn't get much deeper than that. So yeah.
Have a go at it.
Yeah, if that's what you want to do. And so it's me going, all right, do this, and let's see, let's start crafting it. I'm never going to tell somebody, no, don't do that speech. Don't do that. Do this instead. Yeah. So, Ron, I'm hogging this show because it's my show.
Right. Oh, hogging?
There you go. So, I'm talking about public speaking and that, my kind of stuff. So in your music career, and we've talked a little bit about our studio here, what can you tell us, how can we mentor people right here at WRLR, or how have you mentored people?
Well, we have new people who come in, and I was mentored.
Okay.
And I'm able to pass that along because I was always around radio stations because I was in the record business, but I wasn't doing radio. And I was trained here by Cheryl Dunlap.
Okay.
Who came in on a couple of Sundays, helped me run the board, taught me how to do it.
Nice, right.
Was gracious enough to sit with me for my first two broadcasts.
Very nice.
And then I was ready to go after that.
Sure.
We've had some people come to the station since then, and they show an interest. They want to sit in on my show and watch what I do and ask questions and take notes. And if anybody's going to be that attentive, I'll give you whatever information you desire.
Yeah, yeah.
But they said they were comfortable, and it's so important to take notes.
Yes.
I'm always amazed by people who are in any kind of training session, and
right.
they're not writing anything down.
Sure, sure.
But
and you look at this board here. I mean, the board's, we got, you know, 1,100 levers here. We got four screens. We got all kinds of stuff. I don't understand what half of this stuff does.
we know enough to be dangerous.
Exactly. I might come in on a Friday and sit on your show quietly just to watch you play this board, okay? Because I don't play any music. I don't even want to go to that level yet.
Oh, you're a piece of cake. Well, you do what you do. Do what I do.
Right.
When you were talking about the high school.
Yes.
I thought that was so interesting. And from your aspect, I'm thinking, we talked about financials. We talked about operations. You got to be all over the marketing aspect.
Oh, completely. That's the thing that I know the most, that I can speak the most intelligently about. When I get into the financial end, I tell them, look, this is, you know, I tread softly in that and I'll teach you a couple things, but there's experts who know that. But when it comes to the marketing, I talk to them really about differentiation and how to do that. And again, going back half an hour when we talked about, don't be afraid to be different. Don't be afraid to stand out, because it's the companies and the products that stand out that get noticed.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah, I enjoy teaching them everything I know about marketing.
And the sales aspect?
Certainly.
And you've had one organization for mentoring that's been around, I believe, since the mid-60s, SCORE.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There you go.
And they're still going strong.
Completely, yeah. They're never ending, because that's all these small business people who are
retired executives,
back,
yeah.
That are giving back to the next generation.
Yeah, that's what made me think about it when I realized this was National Small Business Week.
There you go. Perfect. I would suggest... I do coach small businesses, but I would definitely suggest most businesses, it doesn't hurt to go to a place like SCORE and just talk to them and say, you know, this is what I'm doing. What do you think? And just get some feedback like that. There is nothing that is better than that type of stuff. And if you're a small business owner and you think that you know it all, trust me, you don't know it all. You don't even know half of what you don't know.
Yeah, you don't even know what you don't know.
Right, right, right.
I think another thing that I would advise young people, whatever business they're in, there's line in their staff.
Okay.
And talk to the line people.
Right.
Years ago, many years ago, I was made the liaison for some consultants that came in when I was at OMC back in the 80s. And the boss, my mentor, signed me to be their liaison. And all they did, I was in my 20s, all they did was go out on the floor and talk to the people that management didn't talk to.
There you go. Yes.
And I said, they got the ideas that you already had available at no cost.
Right.
I said, they typed them up, had them printed and bound at Kinko's, and gave you an invoice for six figures.
There you go.
And you had all the information out here available
for
free.
You just had to go talk to them. I mean, that's what I love about how I coach, is that same way. I go to a company, and what I tell them is that I'm going to re-interview all your employees and sit there and talk to them. And I go, what's your favorite part of your job? What's the part that you if you wish you could delegate to somebody else? What's the part that's the most efficient? What's the part that of your job that's the least efficient? And you find, you dig up all of these ideas, but you gotta, going back to the beginning of the show, you gotta communicate back to them and saying, thanks for sharing these ideas. We're going to implement some of your thoughts. You got to do that because that's the way you get them to continue to share.
Did you, before we go, did you ever hear the toothpaste story?
No, please tell me.
It was a factory that had a problem making toothpaste, put in the tube, put in the box.
Yep.
They were having problems, and some boxes were getting processed with no toothpaste in them.
Okay.
CEO hires this firm.
Yeah.
They spent $8 million on this system with sensors that detects, and once it detected an empty box, the line would stop, an alarm would sound,
okay,
and somebody would have to come, remove the box, and restart the line.
Right.
So this thing goes in, like I say, $8 million, and he's looking at the reports, and the first week, there were only maybe a dozen empty boxes that got through.
Right, right.
And that was kind of the percentage they expected.
Sure.
So the CEO's happy. It's working pretty good. So then he's looking at the numbers for the second, third, and fourth week, and zero empty boxes get shipped. And he said, well, we should be seeing some numbers. This thing isn't 100% foolproof. So he had the engineers go check out the machine and everything. Yeah. No, these numbers are right. The data's right. So finally, he goes out on the floor himself.
Right.
And there's, before you get to the $8 million machine.
Sure.
There's a $20 desk fan.
Nice.
That when an empty box, it blew it off into a bin.
Nice. Beautiful.
The CEO comes and says, well, how did this happen? He said, oh, Ben, the maintenance guy, he got tired of that doggone bell going off all the time and having to come here and push the button to start it.
Wow.
He bought a $20 fan and empty box just...
There you go. It's the sometimes the simplest ideas.
All you got to do is talk to the people doing the work.
There you go. That is a great way to close the show here. We've got like a minute and a half here. And so just to remind everyone, what we talked about today was about mentoring, why it's important to become a mentor, why, in my eyes, I'm going to be a mentee the rest of my life. I like talking to people older than me. I love talking to people younger than me, sharing these ideas. Goes right along with what you're saying. Is talk to the people who are doing the work because they more than likely will have the answers. So with Bacon Bits today, what we did was we talked about mentoring. It's be authentic, ask open-ended questions and leading questions. C is champion their ideas. O is offer ongoing support. And N is nurture their growth. Okay, I'm just going to end with kind of a call to action for everyone in business. And if you are young, go find a mentor. If you are old and experienced, don't be afraid to offer your service and help somebody else up. It's always about climbing a mountain, okay? When you're young and you're climbing a mountain, reach up to somebody who's ahead of you and ask them, how did they get up there? And maybe you'll learn something. And if you're already at the top of the mountain or almost up there, reach down and grab someone. Pull them up. Push them ahead of you. You will enjoy the climb a lot more.
And
Ron, go ahead. Give me your closing thoughts.
I think you would add one N to your N in Bacon.
What's that?
You said nurture?
Yes.
And I think you've already said it in other words, recognize their nature.
Yes.
When you're nurturing.
Perfect. You're absolutely right. That's a whole separate show we're going to get into about understanding what drives them, everyone's motivational force, and driving them like that. Ron, again, thank you so much for being my guest here.
Been a blast.
This has been the fastest hour. All right. And so thank you, everyone, for tuning in. It's 8 o'clock. Thanks. You're listening to WRLR 98.3 FM, The Life. I'm the host of the show, Bacon Bits with Master Happiness. I'm Marty Jelove. Thanks. And thank you again, Ron, my special guest.
Thank you.
Good night. Take it again. Bye-bye.